Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, I'll just say your name and your title.
Andy Mencher, the director of programming at the Avalon Theater and Chevy Chase.
Yes, and we're talking because the Avalon Theater is celebrating 100 years, the centennial. Hard to believe, but congratulations. I want to get into some of the history and some of the other stuff you got going on. But first and foremost, we got to tell everyone about the May 6th gala. This is something you do every year, right? But of course, even more significance this year.
Yeah, we do try to do a gala every spring. We've done it for about 10 to 15 years now. We couldn't do it, obviously, the last couple of years. We did one virtually, but we're really excited to be back to do a gala in person again. It feels like a return to some level of normalcy for us and, you know, for the community. And of course, this year we are, let's call it a gala on steroids, I guess. It's we're usually we do the gala, you know, all in one location, all at the theater. This year we separated the program out from the party. So the party is going to be up the street at the Chevy Chase Village Hall after the event. And at 5:30 on Saturday, May 6th, we're going to have an event at the theater where we have invited a local composer, a guy named Andrew Simpson, who's a professor over at Catholic University, but sort of as his very serious side hobby as a composer, he has gotten involved in scoring silent film. And has performed all over the world doing this, composing and has written scores. He's written dozens of scores, which are now featured on DVD and Blu-ray and re-releases of things. And he has written a brand new score for the Buster Keaton classic Sherlock Jr., which he is going to world premiere for us on Saturday, May the 6th. So we are extremely excited about that happening.
Wow. So that will be at the gala.
And what's really cool, Jason, is that this movie actually played at the Avalon in 1924. So we are doing something that played, you know, in this same space, you know, 99 years ago. And we are, you know, obviously it didn't play with an ensemble orchestra then, probably just had a piano accompaniment, but it's really neat to sort of, you know, do something that has a historic context like that.
And folks, you got to see it. I know you're thinking, oh, 100 years old, it's going to be slow. No, it is one of my favorite movies ever. And it's sort of, I always think of it like the reverse Purple Rose of Cairo, right? Purple Rose of Cairo, Jeff Daniels, the movie character, comes off of the screen to meet me. Right. But in this one, Buster Keaton is watching a film and goes up on the screen into the movie. It's so magical. I love it.
Well, and what's really fun for this event for me is that I'm helping to produce the whole thing that goes on at the theater. So I'll actually be in the projection booth, which is where Buster Keaton, you know, profession is in the movie. So I get to be Buster Keaton, I guess, for the film.
Maybe you will actually walk up and go on the screen too in your dream. Yeah. Well, that's really cool. All right. Well, before we tangent into every Buster Keaton movie ever, because I freaking love the guy. Tell me why the Avalon relies on a gala every, you know, like remind everyone that it's a nonprofit theater. It's not like your multiplexes. Like this is sort of how we help keep it in business over all these years.
Absolutely. So the, you know, the Avalon really has a couple of major fundraising events each year. One of them is just simply sort of an end of the year appeal to our patrons to help sustain the theater. And the second thing that we do annually is this gala event, and the gala event raises funds that literally keeps this theater operating year over year. So it's a crucial part of our fundraising plan. It's a crucial part of this theater being a part of this community for so long. And this year, certainly with the challenges of the movie business post-pandemic, I would say that, you know, this year the gala and all of our fundraising efforts are as critical as ever.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and one more question on the gala. How much does it cost to get in? Like, is your ticket price what your donation is, or when you're in there, you also have the opportunity to donate more, I assume?
Well, of course, you could always donate more. It is, you know, it is a gala event. So, but there are two different ticket levels. If you just want to come and hear the go to the event and celebrate with us and see the film with the live accompaniment, those tickets are $75. To do the party, which is, you know, the drinks and past hors d'oeuvres and all that sort of thing. It's $325 a person to go, as a gala events sometimes are a little bit of a higher price ticket. But we hope that some people, who aren't as interested in the party would be excited to come and support the theater with the program only ticket.
Absolutely. It's a lot. It'll be a lot of fun. Like you're paying to go out on for a night out, but at the same time, it's for a good cause. All right, cool. Tell me about some of the other stuff you have going on for the centennial. I know a few months back you started doing something where like it's a different movie representing every decade. So I want to go chronologically. Well, not chronologically in terms of when the movies are released, but chronologically in terms of, what you've done each month this year so far and going
Sure.
forward.
Sure. Well, yeah. So the main other event, or I should say events, I guess, that are happening this year is this program that we've decided to call the 100 Years of Cinema Magic, which is a reflection on what's played at the Avalon for literally 100 years. And it's been, a pretty awesome, thing to have to go back through the record to try to see what's played at the Avalon. It's just an enormous amount of research going back through old archives of the Washington Post and other papers, because the 80 years before the nonprofit era, we really don't know that well. So we've spent an enormous amount of time just finding out what was at the theater. And one of the really neat things about that was, there's sort of it almost it, the way the theater was programmed is sort of divided almost in half. Like the first 50 years, the theater was considered what you would call a neighborhood theater. It was part of the Warner's empire for a while. And so movies would sort of come into town and they would circulate around to these different neighborhood theaters, the Avalon being one of them. Which means that movies only played for 2 or 3 days. And, when a movie only plays 2 or 3 days, and yeah, sometimes they came back, later, you could pretty much say that, any important movie of the first 50 years of the Avalon's, existence probably played at the theater, because you had so much film moving in and out and circulating through. So it's been really interesting to go back and try to choose the movies from the first 50 years. So that's sort of like the first 5 decades, because we can literally choose whatever we want, right? Because, nothing had more significance really than anything else. We go back and pick great films. But the second part of the century, the Avalon really became more of a first run theater, one that movies played at for weeks or longer, right? Some of these movies played for months. So there are far fewer movies actually that played. And sometimes there are things that you would expect to have seen on the Avalon screen, but in fact, they may have played down the street at the Uptown or somewhere else. But of course, the Avalon had some great hits with other films. So the more current decades, we've really looked more specifically at things that we would call Avalon hits. And yes, we've been doing this. We started in February. The Avalon actually opened in February of 1923. So we decided to start in February, and we'll do a different decade all the way through until November of this year. We started, and they're not going chronological. One of the reasons why we did that was we decided the gala was going to be the 1920s. And once we decided that, we really didn't have the way to go chronological. So we decided to just
Right.
mix it up.
So what was it? What was February?
So February's film was In the Heat of the Night, which is a Norman Jewison film. And it actually was one, it was just was like just as the Avalon was sort of transitioning from, neighborhood to sort of first run. And In the Heat of the Night was one of the first films that played more significantly at the theater and was a really representative film of the decade, too. So we felt like that was a great one to start with. And we've been really fortunate to have Anne Hornaday of the Washington Post, who's been willing to be the host of this entire program, but also she's been able to moderate all the screenings so far. I'm not sure she can do each one, but she's done most of them. And we had a great film journalist and an author named Mark Harris join us for In the Heat of the Night. The second decade was the 1940s, so that was March, and we did the Chaplin classic, The Great Dictator. And we had a Chaplin expert come in and join Anne. And then just a couple weeks ago, we did the 2010s. So our current history, you know, the history of the nonprofit and the movie that really we felt was the most important film of the 2010s was Moonlight, as a movie that played for about 20 weeks at the Avalon. It, you know, was a high grossing film. It obviously won the Oscar. Just an absolutely astoundingly powerful film.
Those are three great movies you've picked, or did I say three, or is it four?
No, that's three. Yeah, three so
three.
Far.
That's three and so then... far. February, In the Heat of the Night, Slapper Around the World, Sidney Poitier. I mean, perfect to represent the 60s. I mean, you could have so many you could have picked, but that's a great one. And then the great Dictator for the 40s. That's fantastic. That final speech Chaplin does.
And something that was just so prescient as to what was happening in Europe and in 1939 was really kind of remarkable. You know, and one of the things, Jason, that has sort of come out of this process, I'm not going to say that we're going to do this every month, because you never know. You might be inspired by a different kind of film, but. So far, the films that we've selected have been representative of the decades that they were made in, very much so. So, you know, In the Heat of the Night is made in the 60s, about the 60s. Dictator, you know, right around the time of World War II. Moonlight is very much a movie about of the 2010s. It may not work out so perfectly that everything sort of fits the theme of the decade. But it is kind of a neat little programming add-on, I guess, to
like
have
a time capsule.
Yeah, to kind of have it work that way. So I think we have an eye on that. You know, after the 1920s, the Sherlock Jr. film at the gala, we're gonna turn to the 1980s in June, and we're gonna do Moonstruck, which is of course Cher Nicolas Cage and Danny Aiello and others, and very much a movie of the 80s, you know. So we're sort of thematically, I think, there, but you know, we still have five more decades to go after that.
All right, so I mean, Moonstruck's great. Snap out of it. One of the best. Cosmos Moon. What about July?
Well, so. The way that this process has been working is we are sort of approaching this as the year goes along. So we don't actually have any of the five final movies completely selected yet. This is very much a community sort of oriented process, a communal think between their committee. We're really close with July. I could know the answer to that maybe in a couple of hours. But as of this moment, I don't actually have that title set.
All right. So what do we think July is going to be? I know we're trying to solidify it, but what do we think it's going to be?
Well, we are we're really hopeful that we are able to do Roman Holiday as the film of the 1950s. Of course, a classic William Wyler film, one of the great filmmakers of all time.
Oh, yeah.
The hope is that we could get William's daughter, Catherine Wyler, to come join us as a guest. So that would be hopefully in July.
Catherine Wyler stopped by WTOP a couple of years ago. She was promoting a documentary about her father's, you know, Memphis Belle. They restored it, or I guess they made a new documentary about it, I think.
She made a film about her dad. I know that, right?
Right, yeah, exactly. But Roman Holiday, I mean, that's, come on, Gregory Peck and Audrey Hepburn's big breakout Oscar-winning role. I mean, it is a great one. So that would be really cool if you can make that happen for the 50s for July. And what about August, September, October, November, the final four? I guess it's still up in the air.
It is still up in the air. So the decades that are left are the 1990s, the 1970s, the 1930s, and then the 2000s. So we have some pretty great decades to choose from. The 1990s, in fact, you know, the probably even the 70s, the 90s, and the 2000s, we can really choose something, you know, that was a significant hit at the Avalon, which I think is going to be a fun way to approach it. And in the 1930s, I think we can try to find a real classic film that represents that decade. It gives us an opportunity, obviously, to go back into the time capsule and find a movie from a great director or great performance or actor. So we'll probably approach it that way.
Oh, you have no shortage of option.
Nope.
I mean, folks, you could either see King Kong or The Wizard of Oz or anything in between.
Yeah.
Capra, there's so much you could do. And same with the 90s and everything else. Well, we look forward to seeing what the others will be. That gives me enough to sort of tease at least a couple months out now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, I guess just sort of in closing, just so I have all my I's dotted and T's crossed, give me a little more on the founding itself, the history of the Avalon. You know, you mentioned it was founded in, what, 1923? Yeah, that'll be 100 years. So, yeah, how did the founding actually come about?
Well, that's a good question. I think
or anything you want to say about this.
Well, you know, look, I think it was really just a part of, you know, this boom at the time in the 1920s where this city was exploding outward. You know, there were different neighborhoods that were becoming their own sort of stronger communities. And a lot of these neighborhood theaters, you know, as this art form sort of took hold, a lot of these neighborhood theaters date back to that era, the 20s and the 30s. And the Avalon was just something that, you know, was considered, I think, even at the time, just going to be a huge part of the Chevy Chase DC community. And, you know, it obviously had to very quickly go through some significant changes from being built in 23 as a silent film theater to being wired for sound in 29. And then you had to retrofit air conditioning into the place a couple of years later to keep up with the times. It was a pretty, you know, there was a lot of work that was done with the theater in the first 20 years of its operation, just to, you know, kind of keep up with the evolution of the film industry. And the Avalon really reflects it. I mean, we found all these great articles about when the air conditioning was added and the first, you know, the sound movie that was at the theater and first Technicolor movie at the theater and things like that, you know, even things, crazy things like them collecting copper for the war drive, you know, at the local theaters in the 1940s. There's some really neat stuff in the record. And then, you know, the theater just continues to become a huge part of this neighborhood up really until, you know, like there never was a time that it wasn't important. It went through a lot of different owners, and you know, it maybe benefited that it was one of the theaters that held on a little bit longer, and so many other theaters had closed, you know, in the period right before the Avalon closed. And, you know, think of all the theaters and the old theaters in Georgetown and other, you know, other theaters around town, that this neighborhood just said, you know, not this one, and just had this remarkable ability to negotiate this theater staying a movie theater, and then raising an enormous amount of money and all the restoration work that went on to reopen the theater in 2003. You know, it's 100 years of the centennial. It's also 20 years of the nonprofit Avalon that we get to celebrate this year. And, you know, that's a significant achievement in and of itself. So we're proud of that. And we're proud of, certainly very proud of 100 years.
Absolutely. Well, here's to another 100 years.
Yes, sir.
Going forward, long after you and I are gone. Hopefully that sucker's still going strong. Yeah. But we invite everyone to come out. Mace, I guess, end with that. Pretend I'm not even here. Speak directly to the listeners, you know, say, hey, everyone, come on out to the gala May 6th, you know, celebrate a good time kind of a thing.
Sure. We would just love for everyone to come out on Saturday, May 6th to the Avalon Theater in Chevy Chase, D.C., and to our special gala event. Celebrate with us. We look forward to seeing you at the gala, maybe at a film later in the year. And to really just celebrate this important part of Washington's history and the Chevy Chase DC community.
Awesome. And if you do happen to go up on screen for Sherlock Jr., hopefully you're not trapped up there. Hopefully you can we can come back out.
I hope
right.
So.
Thanks so much. It's always a blast. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it.